Hello, NBC. I thought we were going to start a minute from the time I said. Maybe you didn't understand the signal. This is Herb Plambeck again, and I think you want a minute's notice. So for this first job, which will take about 5 minutes, let us start 1 minute. Start 1 minute from now. Seconds from now. Hello, WHO. This is your war correspondent with the Third Army, reporting again from the Western Front. Heroism is the everyday story on war fronts. Every company, every platoon, in fact, every squad has its man or men who have gone above and beyond the call of duty, always at great risk, and too often they have paid the supreme price. It's hard to know where to start or stop when it comes to reporting men who have won the undying admiration of their comrades, a reward even greater than the medals presented for distinguished service on the field of battle. Last week, while with the Golden Acorn Division, now also across the Rhine, I learned of several Iowa men who have been cited for heroism. Their cases are typical. The men themselves just don't talk about their feats of courage, so the story came to me from their buddies. First, let's take the case of Lieutenant Vincent McCarty, a combat engineer of Hartley, Iowa, who this month added still more to his glorious record. Here are some of the things he has done. In the Siegfried Line crossing, along with 13 enlisted men and under the cover of infantrymen, Lieutenant McCarty set out to destroy four west wall pillboxes holding back the 87th. The Iowa lieutenant and his men carried over 500 pounds of high explosives to each pillbox, and they succeeded in destroying two of them before they were interrupted. The engineers then put down the rest of their explosives, fired back at the enemy, and continued their mission. Another one of the Midwestern men on this difficult assignment was Private First Class Paul Kurtz of Oregon, Missouri. More recently, in a single day, Lieutenant McCarty was called on for two other dangerous missions. With 12 other men, he went out to assist infantry and artillery units, directed the clearing of 60 landmines, and the removing of booby traps from 10 trees. The same day, the Iowan, along with Private First Class F.W. Cox of Mathers Green, Kansas, and Elmer Thompson of Newtown, Missouri, and Private Art Wagner of Phillips, Nebraska, removed demolition charges from a bridge before the enemy could get to them. And as if all this were not enough evidence of the Hartley man's courage, let me add that he was one of those who built bridges over the Moselle when the 87th took Koblenz. I rode over a bridge the Iowa man helped build and can testify it was a mighty sturdy structure. Then there's the story of Captain John Muir of Sioux City, Iowa, who was awarded the Bronze Star for gallantry in combat. Captain Muir's achievement takes us back to Belgium at the time of the German counterattack. The scene is the village of Morrissey, where a partial withdrawal was necessary, during which process some men and groups became separated from their organizations. Realizing the danger, Captain Muir rounded up the men who had become separated and organized a system of returning them. This done, he set about establishing a defensive position for the battalion, assigned areas to each company and to each gun, and as each new man came in, he personally led him to his new position, thereby inspiring courage in the hearts of these men and enabling them to stop the enemy. You've already heard, perhaps, the story of Sergeant Ralph Irby of Iowa City and of his courage. Even if you have, it's worth repeating. The Iowa City man, now the idol of his company, was a buck private at the time his unit was pinned down in the historic Battle of Tillet. The men were getting short of food, water, munitions, and more than that, they had several seriously wounded. Volunteers were called for to make contact with battalion, and Ralph Irby was one of the three who volunteered. They alternately crept and ran for a mile and a half in darkness over snow-covered hill country under direct enemy fire. Fortunately, all got through safely, and with a carrying party brought back the precious supplies, enabling the unit to hold out and care for its men, resulting in the Bronze Star and the richly deserved promotion for Sergeant Irby, a hero in every sense of the word. These are just a few of the innumerable cases of bravery on the front, bravery that helps save lives of buddies. This is Herb Planbeck with the Third Army returning you to Des Moines. New York, NBC, I'm ready to do the second one if the signal is satisfactory. And I suggest we start this one, which will go about 5 1/4 minutes. Start in 1 minute from now. Seconds from now. Hello, Bill Diamond. This is Herb Planbeck, again reporting from Third Army Headquarters. This report deals with some of the farm boys I have met or have had word from while with the Third Army. Boys whose work is here but whose hearts are with the folks on the fertile acres of Iowa or some other Midwestern state. Boys like Sergeant Butler Idle of Hampton, whose parents, Mr. and Mrs. Ray Idle, have a dairy farm. Young Idle is with the Golden Acorns and was obviously pleased to have someone from home look him up. He's a former Franklin County 4-H member, active in colt club and dairy club work, and still interested in horses and dairy cattle and other stock. Sergeant Idle, like most of the rest of the Iowa boys, enjoyed the ear of corn that has accompanied me wherever I've gone. He took out a kernel for a souvenir. Young Idle reports mail from home is coming in nicely. He asked about B.B. Hamilton and Pat Van Wert and says he's having a hard time waiting until he can again hear WHO entertainers and be again at the State Fair and Dairy Cattle Congress. Corporal Frank Anderson of Nearing Zyra is also with the 87th Division, where he is a cook. He has a record of more than 100 days up in fighting areas, an accomplishment that has won him the Combat Infantryman's Badge, as well as the heartfelt gratitude of his buddies. They say he's prepared apple pies and cherry cobblers for them, and that's something. His interest continues to be in agriculture, though, and he's having a lot of fun comparing the old-fashioned practices here with modern farming at home. He spoke a great deal of his sister and brother and of Herman Zobrist, his former FFA instructor. Corporal Lauren Benedict, now one of General Patton's famous 4th Armored Division tank drivers, used to farm near Creston. His wife lives at Creston now. When Corporal Benedict gets back, he can relate some of the most thrilling experiences of this war, for he has been right in the middle of the drive through France and the push to the Rhine and the present smash into the heart of the Reich. He hasn't forgotten farming, though, and hopes to get back on the acres if, as he put it, it isn't too tough for veterans to start up again. An Illinois farm youth, sturdy Private First Class Ralph Fair of near Eureka, whose folks farm near Irving Bauman, national champion cornhusker, has been in service 39 months, and it goes without saying the place back in Woodford County, Illinois, will look very, very good to him when his work with Uncle Sam is finished. Meanwhile, like a lot of the rest of our men in Europe, he's sweating out the CBI possibility. Corporal Fair is also a cook, says most of the food here is good, but more tender beef would be very welcome. A Van Meter farm boy, Private First Class Darrell Earp, who, as I recall, used to play ball with Bob Feller, is a military police unit man now. But he also continues to think about the farm back home. And when in a newly occupied German town, where he spied some very hungry livestock recently, he proceeded to do some feeding and watering. From near Marion, Iowa, Robert Hardin, now a Private First Class, went into service after having been in farm work for some time. He still keeps an interest in agriculture and reports seeing quite a lot of butter, meat, and other good Iowa food products served to the men in his company. Another Iowa farm youth I've had the pleasure of meeting is Lieutenant Ralph West of Greene County, whose wife is in Jefferson. Lieutenant West is an Iowa State College man and at one time was on Iowa's champion judging team. His work here is supply officer for a battalion, an assignment he discussed on one of our recent overseas broadcasts. Working with Lieutenant West has been one of the best ways I know to learn why men on the front lines respect their officers so. He's constantly thinking of the welfare of his men, even if that means going through the roughest kind of enemy resistance. Man after man up on the front has told me that's the way frontline officers are. They know how much is at stake in their decisions, and they appreciate the faith the men in the ranks place in them. Up on the front, I saw the very closest kind of cooperation, and that's where it counts, thanks to leaders like Lieutenant West. We've met a lot of farm boys, and in new assignments, we'll meet more. They are great soldiers. This is Herb Planbeck with the Third Army returning you to Des Moines.
WQV. Hello, WQV. Hello, WQV. This is MC8 calling WQV. I cannot understand you, WQV. I'm sorry, but you are totally unintelligible. Yes, WQV.